Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Our Eurovision entry, Emmy, of course, takes to the stage in the second semi-final leg later tonight. But RTE's Eurovision head of delegation, Michael Keely, has said it feels wrong when others suggest that the broadcaster should boycott the Eurovision Song Contest. Michael Keely was chatting to our own Henry McKean in Basel in Switzerland.
I'm generally speaking not in favour of kind of these cultural boycotts, because I think competition like this is designed specifically to bring people together. You know, I mean, without going through the history of the competition, it was set up after the Second World War, time when Europe was, you know, riven by division and it was fractured and all that kind of stuff. And this was competition that came from this country we're in at the moment, and it was designed specifically to bring people together through the shared love of music, through the shared love of culture and artistic expression. Anytime anybody suggests to me that we should silence artists or not hear artists, it just feels wrong to me, you know. So I just think that's it's a kind of a censorship. I just bristle when that's suggested to me, you know. So I'm not really in favour of kind of cultural boycotts, no.
And obviously there's been some suggestion over the controversy around Israel's participation in the 69th Eurovision Song Contest, but I just would love to chat to you, to listeners today, to see how you feel about it. 1800 453 106, that's the number. Dermot Manning is with me. Dermot's a long-time Eurovision fan. Is Israel's participation causing a headache for all other competing countries, Dermot?
Hi, good afternoon, first of all. I don't think it's causing trouble for all competing countries. Certainly some have raised issues about their participation and have sought discussions with the EBU, who of course organise the event. And the EBU this year have said they will actually engage in those discussions, but after this show is over. Every year there's a big review of the contest after every year, and there's a huge review after last year's show in Malmö, when you might remember there was a lot of sort of controversy on a daily basis last year. I was in Malmö last year. There were daily protests on the streets. There was the issue of a Dutch guy, the singer, being disqualified. Many singers were complaining about what happened backstage. You know, there's a lot of tension backstage. There were rehearsals didn't go ahead properly because artists were sort of storming off left, right and centre. It was a fraught
right.
event. But this year, the EBU have made major changes this year.
So the EBU is the European Broadcasting Union, isn't
exactly,
it? I see,
yeah.
Kevin Backhurst from RTE, he mentioned last week, he's going to look for a meeting with them too, isn't he, about Israel's involvement?
Yeah, this is what I said, there will be discussions about after the event. But it's interesting, like you mentioned that I've been at Eurovision 24 times. So I'm fairly familiar with how the setup and how the event runs. And one of the features used to be when you go over that, anyone who's accredited to the event would be able to go to the rehearsals as they went through. After each rehearsal, there'll be a press conference. You'd have a chance to chat to the artists, get to know them, ask them questions. And this year, there was no access to any of the rehearsals at all for anyone. There was no press conferences this year, none. There'd be one after the final with the winner of the contest. That's the only press conference taking place in Basel.
But is that to do with Israel's participation or nothing at all?
It's just to basically, it was couched in terms of creating a more comfortable participating environment for everyone, where everyone can be relaxed and everyone not be under pressure. It seems unlikely that Israel's participation is not part of the reason why they've made these changes this year. But the EBU, of course, haven't said that specifically. But after last year, but that is huge. So, I was listening to a fellow broadcaster this morning talking about Eurovision, and he did make the point that it's sort of like low-key this year.
There's not as much fuss about it compared
to last year. And I think that's part of that the EBU have achieved what they set out to after last year, to kind of dial down the fuss and fury, and they have achieved it in that respect, I think.
We're still talking about it today, though. Saoirse's joining us as well, Dermot. Will you tune in? Will you watch Ireland's semi-final participation tonight, Saoirse?
No, I won't watch it. I think it's a real shame that it has come to this. I mean, the same calls were made this time last year. It's not like the EBU or RTE have been caught on the hop with this. since this time last year, you know, the only thing that has changed is the number of people who have been killed and murdered and are now being starved has increased. So, like, it's not like they have to make a decision on the hop. You know, it really should be down to governments, I suppose, to make the decisions. I feel as well that, you know, when Russia invaded Ukraine, they were immediately expelled and they were told that if they were to compete in the competition, it would bring it into disrepute. So I cannot understand why the same rules don't apply to Israel now. You know, that this is the second year of Eurovision since their latest onslaught in Gaza. And I just find it unbelievable that, you know, we're still talking about it, that Israel are still taking part, and that Kevin Backhurst, you know, I was delighted to hear that he wanted to have discussions with the EBU, but to have them after the contest is just ridiculous. You know, it's too late then. And Israel will have had their platform. And, you know, I read somewhere that Isaac Herzog last year had said it's really important for Israel to have this platform. You know, they're showcasing themselves. It's definitely an example of art washing. And, you know, I don't think it should come down to a single artist like Emmy who's performing or whatever. It shouldn't be on their shoulders. But, you know, the government and governments all over the world have just turned a blind eye. And that means that Israel then are acting with impunity because the international, you know, society won't, or the community are refusing to take action. I mean,
so you think it's double standards, when you compare it to Russia and Ukraine. Would you agree with that, Frank? Frank Dermody is with us as well. Saoirse, Frank's the president of Ireland's Eurovision fan club. You're joining us from Basel today, Frank. It's double standards.
It absolutely is. And to echo what Saoirse was saying, every broadcaster in the European Broadcasting Union asked for Russia to be excluded. And I hate to say it, but not one asked for Israel to be excluded. In fact, last year, several of them banded together and said that if they were excluded for any non-legal reasons, that they would pull funding from the organisation.
So that's the difference.
And that's the difference. I'm not saying it's right, but that is what is happening.
Would it make any difference if we did?
You know what? Sorry, I was cutting you off.
No, you're okay, Frank. There might be maybe a slight delay when you're joining us from Switzerland. But would it make any difference if Israel were excluded from the competition this year? Maybe it would.
Maybe it would. It's hard to say. I do think it's harder for people to justify voting for them this year, given all that's happened in the last year. Last year, absolutely, people were fired up, as Dermot was saying, basically behind the stage. It was chaos is the only way to describe it. And you could be writing 10,000 books in regards to what was happening backstage and still miss a lot of the drama. And what was happening in the foreground as well. I believe that Israel does need to take several years off to reevaluate what they need to do, but we shouldn't be silencing the artist who's there. She has gone through a horrific journey with the attack and how she survived that. I'm not justifying what Israel is doing.
This is Israel's entry. Sorry, Frank.
That's correct. Yeah, she survived the attack on October 7th. Right. And now she's talking about a new day rising.
So there's a sort of, there's a political message right in this entry, obviously, as well.
It appears to be that case, yes. So. Now, there's not as much sympathy for them this year, I can see on the ground. But then again, I haven't seen a lot of ads online, particularly when you search Eurovision on TikTok, YouTube, from Israel basically saying, you can vote up to 20 times for our country. It's not illegal for them to be saying that. It's how the competition works.
Okay.
But they're getting very clever at how they're advertising.
Zoe Lawler is with us. Zoe's the chairperson of the Ireland-Palestine Solidarity Campaign, part of the international coalition to boycott the Eurovision. Will you actually watch the semi-final leg now tonight, Zoe?
No, absolutely, I won't. I mean, since Israel hosted the Eurovision in 2019 and subsequently we've called for them to be excluded or expelled and for that Eurovision not to go ahead in Israel. And for the last 2 years, we've called for them to be, the Israeli broadcaster, national broadcaster, can to be expelled. I won't watch it. Today is Nakba Day, which is the commemoration of the start of the expulsion of almost 750,000 Palestinians from their homes in Palestine, and this Nakba is ongoing. And I think of all days that Israel will be on the stage whitewashing and culture washing its genocide is really obscene.
The comment that it's a sort of a form, slight form of censorship. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. I mean, would the same people have said the boycott of South African apartheid was wrong? Maybe so, but they were wrong and were found to be wrong in time. I mean, the point is that Israel is acting with complete impunity, hasn't been expelled from any international organizations.
Hang on a second, it dropped there with your line, Zoe. Hang on, we'll try and maybe get that back. I suppose, Dermot, the reality of this is, okay, like, and I know people have very strong and very mixed views about whether Israel should participate and then whether other countries should have boycotted it because of their inclusion in the competition. But let's be real about this, Dermot, for a moment. Can you in any way envisage a situation where Israel is going to come out as the winner of this? Because I can't see it.
Come out as the winner. Sorry, yeah. I think the point, actually, I agree with Frank is saying there as well. I mean, the whole thing about Israel and Eurovision, I think it's the idea that two things can be right at the same time. You know, you can absolutely support Israel's right to participate because they comply with all the rules and they're a member of the EU and their broadcaster is not the government of Israel and it's the broadcaster that takes part in the contest. However, I think it's also legitimate to, if one country taking part has a hugely disproportionate impact on the event as a whole, I think that's legitimate to look at that impact as well as to whether or not the disproportion is just too much. Can Israel win the event? Absolutely.
Well, should the bookies have them fifth at the minute, haven't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, last year Israel did incredibly well in the Teddy vote. I mean, I checked my socials there this morning. I stopped counting at 10 the amount of times of things about Israel and voting for Israel up to 20 times. The time you can vote for them, the numbers you have to dial in every single country. If you have more than one SIM card, you can vote another 20 times. That will have a huge impact. Israel did amazingly well in the Teddy vote last year. The juries, however, vote in the final. They don't vote in the semi-finals. And last year, the juries did not vote Israel particularly highly.
Sure, that's the difference, Dermot. That's the key point. Like, as much as we can talk about, and bookies can be wrong from time to time as well. You have the televote, as you mentioned, in the semi-finals. I cannot see a situation where European judges are going to vote Israel as the winner of the 69th Eurovision Song Contest. I don't see it.
If it happens, I think the impact on Eurovision is massive because it's one thing to go to Basel, Switzerland and take part in a contest which has an Israeli entrant. It's a very different thing to go to a contest being staged in Tel Aviv.
Yeah, can you imagine the conversation we're going to be having if Israel did, for whatever reason, happen to win the Eurovision? Are RTE going to boycott Israel?
They would insist on hosting it.
Our own Henry McKean is with us from Basel as well. What's the atmosphere like there at the moment in relation to protest, Henry?
Andrea, Basel calling. Yeah, so yesterday evening, around 1,000 people staged a silent march through Eurovision, through the host city, and they tried to make their way over to the Eurovision village or fan zone, and the police stopped them. But it was a really polite, silent march. Everyone was so well behaved. And if we compare it to last year in Malmo in Sweden, there was a lot of violence. There was people being pulled off the street. There was nothing like that. There was people holding up signs saying, Gaza is being starved by Israel right now. One man had a sign saying, thank you, Nemo. That was last year's winner. That's why we're here in Switzerland. And Nemo not only broke the code, but he's actually also said that he doesn't want Israel part of this competition. I actually did get to speak to some of those protesters.
I'm Palestinian. And this is in solidarity with Palestinians. Because I'm Palestinian, today is a silent march in commemoration of the Nakba that is happening today.
You're from that part of the world. How does it feel that the war is continuing?
My heart aches. My people are being killed, slaughtered. Yet at the same time, I am living a dream. Because now the cause, the Palestinian cause, is much bigger than just Palestinians. Now the whole world knows the truth. So I'm between two fires. One of them is joy, and one of them is ache.
Do you feel that Eurovision should have taken place in your adopted city?
I think it is okay for Eurovision to happen or take place in Basel. I think what we're just asking is for the boycott of Israel. Israel does not... should not be represented in Eurovision.
Why are you here at the silent protest?
because it's a scandal that the Eurovision still accepts the participation of Israel. And we want to show that in times of genocide, this is absolutely a no-go.
I'm here for pro-Palestine, protesting towards movement that would generate the solution.
So, yeah, some strong words there, but really well-behaved. Everyone was just so well-behaved. Signs like human rights for everyone. And later on, there will be a pro-Israel march that will be taking place quite near the Jacobs Hall Arena. And Yuval Rafael, a survivor of the October 7th attacks, in rehearsals, she is very strong. New Day Will Rise. We're talking very, very powerful. And as the previous guest said, there is a chance that perhaps Israel win and we head off to Tel Aviv. I did go to the Tel Aviv Eurovision in 2019. Like here, huge security presence, machine guns, and they are ready for anything.
Okay.
But saying that, it's very calm here in Switzerland, very different to last year. So far, all the acts are behaving themselves. Last year, if you remember, Bambi Thug really did cause a real electricity behind the scenes. This year, Emmy, it's plain sailing. It's calm.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens at the semi-final in Basel. Second leg taking place tonight with our own Emmy entrant as well. That's Henry McKean, Frank Darmody, Zoe Lawler, Saoirse and Dermot Manning. Thanks a million for your time. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.